Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, fellow star beings. I am Hercules Invictus of the Olympian Arcanate. Welcome to Hercules and the Space Gods, part of my ongoing Olympian mission to better understand, interact with, and attune to the benevolent creative powers that shaped us in the dawn of time and guide us still. Tonight, I'm proud to bring you ET Universal Zone with Mark and Phyllis Brinkerhoff. The Brinkerhoffs bring us a direct and very personal perspective on cosmic spirituality and realities beyond our own. So without further ado, welcome Mark and Phyllis. Thank you for being here today.
Greetings.
How are you guys doing?
We're okay. How are you doing?
I was muted.
I'm
Phyllis was muted.
Well.
She was talking.
Keeping busy.
Yeah.
It's live radio.
Yes, yes, it is.
Yeah, we're doing fine, Hercules, and hoping you had a good week. And last time we were talking was like Sunday night or Saturday. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was recently, and you're coming up again on Nick's show in a couple of weeks. So
yes.
And I'm doing an Atlantis special, and of course I will invite you guys as panelists, so that's happening too.
Okay, that'd be fun.
Yes, we do love Atlantis.
As do I. A lot of my personal experiences revolve around Atlantis, and it's always interesting hearing other people's experiences with Atlantis as well. It's like looking at a diamond, the many facets of a gem that is slightly beyond our comprehension, but still it's there. And if you look at it from enough angles and you factor in your personal experiences, you get a lot of insights from it.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question as to how many people have actually had the kind of experience with these types of ideas like Atlantis, like you and Mark. If it wasn't for Mark, I would know virtually nothing other than what I read, but I know you guys have personal experiences.
And we've met people who've met us at different talks in the past who, when they met me for the first time, not knowing anything about me, I think they were just coming to a talk. This is back in way up in Albany areas, 1978. The lady just came over to me and she says, I know you. And her friends were behind her and just standing there smiling. And I said, okay, you know, we were setting up for a talk. And it was a weekend talk, like a three-day weekend thing. I was about 25 maybe at the time. And she says, I know you. You were in Atlantis times. You were from space. And she's just telling it like she did. I told her already. And I'm standing like, holy smoke. I don't even know her. She's just an audience person that's coming up there, like, because we were setting up and they were coming in, staying at this place. And she says, you and your friends, you were like 8-9 feet tall. And she described me as my overpart. The way I look when I'm out of body as well. And she describes me, and then she says, and your name, it had S's and R's and an L or something in it, like Sarles. She was going like that. If Phyllis, you were standing there, right? It was like, what? Meanwhile, her two friends are behind her making eyes to me and Phyllis, or Phyllis and I, and putting their fingers to their head going, cuckoo, cuckoo, like that, in the back of her, behind her. And she didn't know they were doing that. And I said, oh, no. I said, no, she's 100% right. Go on. What else did you remember? And she said, you were teaching us about crystal, teaching about growing gardens and herbs, you know, things like that, but about crystals, which is what we brought in. We were bringing things because we brought the crystal skull and we were talking about other things. But, yes, she was right. And Hercules, I could tell you some really cool things in another show of what we taught about baths. The baths and using stones like gemstones or crystal, and how these would enhance the frequencies of the sun at the time coming through that would create light, manifesting light and frequency for the people bathing in their waters. And so they had private baths, you know, like they were not, you know, primitive people. Everybody thinks these people were just primitive people. No, they knew how to make things, and we created things with them. So they had beautiful showers, all kinds of gardens and beauty. This is before things went bad, you know, they started going crazy. So she's 100% right. I told her, yes, you're right, my name is Saralis. So she said, oh, my gosh, there's the L's and the R's and the S. Meanwhile, her friends are being shocked now because she is 100% right. So Phyllis and I, she said, I'm going to hold you. So she was talking with her girlfriends, and then we went and unloaded some artwork and put them on some shelving they had. So I took one of the portraits or pictures I had of my overpart, and I put it on the shelf. She goes, oh, my gosh, comes running over to see it. And she goes, that's you. That's the way you guys look, you know. And I had my name on the painting, pastel, and she says, that's the name. There it is. So she was saying, you know, Phyllis, we never even got her name, the end of the whole thing. It's so long ago. It was probably Julie or Janet. It was something named like that, and that was it. So that was one of the people that actually recalled a lot clear of what was going on. She was one of those psychics that was visiting that time, too, at the lecture we were giving. So I just thought, that's just that one. That's one person that was the first person I ever met that actually remembered and recognized. And that was amazing to us. It blew my mind.
That is great when that happens, when you bump into people who remember bits and pieces of things that you yourself remember. But they didn't happen in here and now as we currently understand the concept. And it's always reassuring in a way, and it validates certain puzzle pieces, and sometimes it connects them. It shows that we're multidimensional, multi-leveled beings. You know, we're not what we think we are, what we've been told we are, or what we've been conditioned to believe we are.
Well, you know, that just begs another question of how much we are not taught about anything that actually really matters in school. You know, when we're growing up, we're, you know, just recently DeSantis said that he wants to teach kids in school, in grammar school and high school, finance, so they know what to do with their finances. And I thought, well, isn't that a logical thing to teach kids? You know, something they can actually use.
I mean, wish I had that.
That's something that we have talked about on the show also. And right now I'm talking to some people about starting a non-for-profit. And part of what we're doing is focusing on practical education, you know, giving people the actual skills they need to navigate through our society, because we're not taught that, and we learn by making mistakes, and those mistakes are costly. So it's better to start the king. You know, if we lived in a hunting-gathering society, we would teach our kids how to hunt and gather. So we live in a society now where you need the basic skills to survive, yet we don't give those. So. Although Governor DeSantis and I don't agree on many things, on that we agree on.
It may not be such a bad idea to know how to hunt and gather.
And count.
And plant and grow.
Yeah.
But anyway,
we love
definitely, those are the subjects for very many future shows as we move forward in time.
Yep.
Excellent.
Okay, so we're going to touch on something. We touched on in your show with Nick last weekend, and
because some people were asking about it, you never finished that conversation.
Yeah, they were emailing me or calling me. Hey, you know what? You never finished that part. Okay. So I was mentioning 144,000, as mentioned in the Bible times or
Revelations
or something. I forgot, Revelation 7 something, I don't know. But it just as it's mentioned in there, mentioning the 12 tribes, like 12,000, whatever it was, of the different tribes of Judea and something. And it said that things weren't happening until the 12 tribes and it was 12,000 sealed. So there was a misunderstanding and misrepresentation, I think, back then. They meant it in one way, but in the teachings that comes later, within the New Testament, actually, or when Christ talked with his disciples and different people about this, he mentioned that. And I just didn't research where he does mention it now, but he mentioned it in a way with the old teachings, probably in Revelations. But what it means is, metaphysically, and metaphorically. It's my favorite thing with the Bible. It's mostly a metaphor. The whole stories are a lot of metaphors. We're talking about in the teachings, even in the Hindu teachings, or the India, in India, the teachings of the chakras. They knew about that energy back in these ancient times. And those who could see, who were seers, could see the frequencies around bodies like auras, as well as chakras and frequencies like that, or the spinning of the chakras. And other psychics I've met have seen the chakras spin as I have.
Uh-huh.
I tried to describe them. They don't look like petals, but to me, when I've seen them and heard them whir, I actually feel them whir. There's the air and a breeze that comes from them, and the whirring sound as well. When you're in tune to it, you can actually hear it humming, different frequencies. So the base chakra is four petals. That's what the ancients saw. Back in ancient times, everyone listening, yogis and all those people back in ancient times, it was about 5,000 BC when they were doing yoga and training and teaching that. They're very ancient Aryan race, which was very well full of knowledge of different, let's say, dimensional space at the time, planes 1 through 7. They all thought the seventh would be the nirvana. That's the nirvana plane for them, which to them, their understanding, I know they didn't really get as high up as they thought, but they assumed this frequency, and it's true, it is there, there's a seven plane. So the base chakra in the ancient times, they will say four petals, four bands, let's say. I've seen them frequencied around. And they think in the ancient time represented fire, air, and water, and earth. So in ancient times speaking, even in ancient Old Testament, they might say four corners of the earth. That's not exactly the meaning. They're not meaning four corners on a flat earth. It's not that way. It's a round planet. What they meant in their terminology as four corners was for a person to stand on the planet wherever they were, and if they looked around from north, south, east, west in their perspectives, it would look like four areas to look towards, but it would look flat to them. So they might have thought that was four corners. But in referencing it in different metaphoric, it means earth, fire, air, and water. So the spleen, we're saying base chakra, that's tailbone area. The spleen has six petals. Solar plexus, 10 petals, and it keeps multiplying away. For the center would be the fourth, the heart center, which would be 12 petals. The throat chakra would be 16 petals. Again, petals looking like, in the mind, a flower petal, like I say a fan. If you want to look at a fan in your mind, too, it looks like that, too. The center, the third eye, would be 48 petals. And the crown chakra would be times 48 from the 48 third eye would be 48 plus the 48 that's there as dual, meaning in ancient times, ancient histories and ancient teachings, the third eye was how the early, let's say, root races or whatever we want to call them, would see through the third eye more than their physicals. So then now we have physical eyes. So we have 48 masculine, 48 feminine, and that equals 144 petals for the third eye center. Then we go to the crown chakra, which then is times that, 1,000, which becomes the 144,000 petals. That's where they get that message from. It's 48 increases to 96, and that would include 144. Now it's times 1,000 for the crown chakra equals 144,000. So we have that metaphor, which is representing, and this is what we came to teach when I left space up there, came here to also tell people about higher frequencies of light that the souls, all the children, all of us, the souls, and not just on this planet, other places too, on the physical first density plane that we're on now, that is a metaphor for that crown chakra. That means when the children, all of us, and all children, everyone, the souls, everywhere, as you're progressing, no matter where you are, what planet you're on, the 144,000 frequency, that petal effect is the crown chakra. So we brought back, when I came here, teaching that I was not allowed to show or talk about to anybody until 2008 when they gave me the okay. Although when I met Phyllis in 1978, I told her about it. And I told a few of the friends in England who had had contact about this too in 1978. And so that's when we were going out to the ships and remembering and visiting on the ships, and people would remember me as my true self, as they would meet me, and they thought that was an alien with my friends. So it was me. That opening of the crown chakra goes beyond 144,000 with the seed atom activation, which we do in space. We give to the Aetherians as well. So when people have experienced these things with us here at these lectures we give, or when we do a special meeting on the seed atom activation, they open their crown chakra, but it goes even beyond. It opens way up into the 12th frequency dimensions and planes. It goes that way for the higher self as well. That way goes up. So these people then now have a way to experience their higher self or connect with their oversoul. Some have actually met their higher self when we've done these and connected with them out of body, and then had lucid out of body, where they actually connect to their higher self and are walking in their higher self. They merge with the higher self on these higher dimensional planes, especially around, let's say, the fourth, fifth, and sixth planes that are on high, what we call high heaven realms. But in space, we utilize these. These are our heaven realms where we are. So it's confusing to people. They think there's one heaven. And around each planet system, we have a heavenly realms. But each planet has a heaven realm within the first seven planes of the planet. And then beyond, we go into the cosmic and celestial realms and planes, which are universal planes. And
well,
that surrounds
galaxies
as well.
You just said something. You said has a heaven realm between the first and the seventh
like
level.
Mars,
but
yeah.
But basically what you mean is multiple heaven realms.
Yes, multiple.
Not just a heaven realm.
Right, I'm
so,
sorry, guys. Yeah.
So just so that doesn't confuse anybody that might have heard it that way, because I heard it.
I'm sorry. You guys, I'm sorry. What I meant is and I teach this about this in our lectures, which we haven't done in a long time, actually, because of the time that's happened in the last 2 years. So around the physical dense planets in a first plane level, like we're on here right now, first plane. I know they want to say three-dimensional, but what it means is 3D, meaning all the planes are 3D. When you're on these planes, there's a table, it's 3D to you. It doesn't mean we're in the third dimension. We're in a first plane, but all the planes have a 3D, a dimensional feeling when you're on them. You're in them. You're in a heaven realm. It's 3D to you, and we're all of us there. So it's hard. I think they got confused in the 70s or 80s when they started calling it 3D. People started thinking, well, we're on a third dimension, but we're not talking planes. There's different ways. So there's many dimensions in a plane. But just to get back to this other thing, try to understand this for people. On planets, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, another star system has another planet, other planets. Each planet that's solid, and a moon as well, these have seven planes around them as they're in that, like an auric energy of their own planet. The planet's planes represent energetic frequencies of the physical planet. So that is, in looking at a planet in space, you're going to see energy around it like an aura. Within those planes are the heaven realms of that planet. So Mars has its own realms. Earth has its realms that represent Earth. Looks like Earth. Green trees and, you know, forests
moon
and things.
Moon has its realms.
Moon has a planet around it. And it'll look moon-like. And yet it's still a beautiful place when you see it. So Mars will have Mars-like things there, but ancient Mars had trees too, and there's trees on Mars, but you don't see them. But they had beautiful things similar to Earth, and they had seas and everything like that. So you'll see heaven frequencies on Mars. If you go to Mars, you can go to those dimensional planes and see the heavenly realms of Mars and see Martians. And some of the Mars people are us here right now on planet Earth, like reincarnated people. So I'm just trying to let people understand that. So then when you get past the seventh planes of these planets, of different planets, even Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, you will enter the celestial realms and the high-frequency universal realms. And there is the highest realms of the heaven, levels that we have known as creation by Creator in the Omniverse. So all the Omniverse has many planes and levels that represent each other. But you can go from our celestial planes to another universe into their celestial planes and still experience wonderful, amazing things, and maybe in different ways of looking at things, but they do look similar in different ways, and times are different there, and different, like when you're there, you'll feel like it's a different way of energy and thinking, but it's hard to explain time because
you
don't have time.
You could also say when you're getting into, when you're accessing the celestial realms, that is literally where your oversouls,
right.
That's the domain of the oversoul.
It's the oversoul.
Or
that
the authentic self, or we like to call it
true
the original self. However you want to say it.
Yeah, those are our true selves are the ones who are exploring the omniversal high frequencies. If you're a higher self here, I'm a higher self here right now, but when you're in your higher self form, if you go out of body, connect to your higher self on a higher realm here, another plane, you can traverse the universe you're in now as well, in ships as well, and for a person it will be like they're sleeping and dreaming, but they're out of body, and feeling a physical effect out of body in their over or higher part. You can connect to your oversoul if you know where it is, how they do that, but the higher self will take you in your out-of-body towards the oversoul. It's like we here just jumping around. It's unless you know where to go. But you could see so many things, and you come back with lucid memory as if it was real, which is like here. And what happens is when you're lucidly out-of-body, it is more real than it is feeling on this physical density. Everybody who's had the experiences of going lucidly, being in places out of body, whether in space on another planet or just Earth, or like visiting Italy or something out of body, they recall it as super real.
Right.
Super real. That's the way to explain it. That's
part of the thing when you do those type of journeys or you have those type of experiences is that you learn very quickly that what we call waking reality is kind of fuzzy. It's not as clear
right.
as some places you reach, even during the hypnagogic and the hypnopompic, the transition you're between sleeping and waking. There's stuff there that is so much more clear that this kind of looks like an old grainy movie or VHS tape.
Yes.
You're in it.
It's what they joke about, right? Or they say in the old times, in the ancient times, the olden days, they say this is the delusion, the illusion reality.
Yeah, illusion.
It's true, because when you're on those high realms, everybody and people we've spoken to all say the same thing. Even Nick and you, we've all said the same thing. When we go back and remember anything where we've been out of body in a total lucid state, it is super real, more real than now, and the memory is as clear as it was the day it happened. Could have been 50 years ago, but it's as clear now, better and more clear than a vacation you took 2 years ago. On Earth.
Right.
You know, like you can go, whoa, that was vivid. Whoa, it's super vivid. So that's the true realm. That's our true home. That's where we really are. I mean, that's where we're trying to go home to stop coming back to these heavy, dense, let's say low frequency at times, heavy, dense first plane levels where challenges and karmas and things are going and the souls are not always able to remember everything because they're veiled before they come in to help them with training. And what I want to say to people now, if you come back to another planet or this Earth again in the future and in reincarnation, try to remember to program yourself and ask the angels not to veil you totally or program yourself, I'm going to remember where
right.
I come from. Just keep saying it to yourself until you come in. But you see, not everybody remembers it. They come in and they're forgetting. So I'm going to go back to the 144,000 guys.
Okay, I want you to go back to that, but I just want I'd like to make a comment about not being able to remember. It's the reason people don't remember is because they had a lack of knowledge while they were here that there was anything other than here. So for them to remember what we know, all of us here on this phone call and probably in the audience know intrinsically that there are multiple levels of consciousness, many people that go over to the other side or transition had no consciousness of it. So there was nothing for them to remember other than the life they just left.
That's right. I forgot.
And that's the problem.
Right.
I call it lack of knowledge, and it's really one of the greatest deficits that a soul can have.
That's one of the things we talk about in many of our talks, is that the more you learn here, where you are now, the more you can learn and understand. And everybody thinks things like, well, I'm going to study the ancient histories, or I'm going to study math or something like, I don't know, whatever they want to study. And it might not be what they need to know when they leave this bodily form. The ancient history of planets is located around the planets to go get. So you can go to Saturn, get some ancient history there of Saturn, Earth as well. But it's not going to help you when you leave this body after death. Knowing the ancient history of Earth might just pull you to an ancient frequency to look at. But if you start concentrating, everybody, on how you want to be, you want to get out of your body, you're going to consciously leave your body. When you die, you do consciously leave your body. And you might be standing in a room wherever you died, or hospital, and be wondering, what do I do now? Is there somebody meeting me? Is Mama here? Grandma might show up.
Am I dead?
Yeah, am I dead? That's happened to people and who have near-death experiences. They didn't know what was happening. So if they don't believe in an angel or anything like it, an angel might not be seen by them, even though an angel is standing in the room. And the same thing, when you're out of body, everyone, you might say, I wonder what I look like. But you forgot to program yourself to even look into a mirror when you're walking by one. If you walked by a mirror and peripherally saw yourself out of body, you might not see anything reflected in the mirror, sort of like the vampire thing, nobody's reflected. But if you program yourself to see yourself in a reflective mirror, window, spaceship, whatever we're on, because I've told people to do that. You can see shiny walls on a spaceship. You can see mirrored effects on the ships. If you walk by, you can actually see yourself reflected in it. And you program yourself on a planet, though, here. When you're walking out of bed, out of body. You might be sleeping on a bed. You get up out of the bed, but you're out of body and didn't know it. You walk towards a mirror, living room, bathroom mirror, whatever, and you've programmed yourself to see yourself, your body will actually walk towards a mirror and stop automatically.
Right.
And you might be thinking, what am I doing? Why am I stopping right here? And you'll be looking at the mirror, and you'll see your true form there. You might look like yourself now on Earth. You might look exactly like you look now, which is normal. That's the astral form. But if you have asked to see yourself in your perfected state, a state, let's say the glorified state, a state that's not of the planet, a state before you ever came to this planet, the true self. Because you were looking at a person that's now, the person now looking in the mirror. When people don't know that they actually can appear as their own self, the way they appear before visiting Earth planets or any planet, you will actually see a representation of your true self form. And that would be your glorified form. So in the higher realms. That's the form that you take, that you feel comfortable with, male or female, doesn't matter. However you feel comfortable, androgynous, whatever it is. And you will stop and look at the mirror, and you might see a reflection of the person you are right now. But then if you say to yourself, okay, that's me now on this earth right now, reflecting me here. But what do I really look? What do I really look? I want to see my real form before I came here in between lifetimes. I want to see how I am in space, moving around, and the image will shift, and you'll see your true form. And what might happen also is you might notice you get 6 feet or 7 feet high, or if you're 5 feet, you might go to 6 or so feet or grow, and you might have to be bending down to look in the mirror, and that's happened to me many times, so it's funny, but it's true. So what you want to do, if you're out of body and going out of body or planning to tonight or some nights, just program yourself with, as soon as I get out of body, I'm going to go towards a reflective mirror in my house and see my true self in the mirror, and you program that in the subconscious. You just keep saying it and say it throughout the day. It's like talking out loud, just normally, going, today I'm going to go out of body, remember everything I see, smell, taste, touch, and feel, and I will see myself in a reflection of a mirror or the window, that's a dark window or so, and I will see my true self in the reflection and how I really am in my space form, my true forms, when I'm before planets, before taking lives on planets. So we're going, and that we've done that with people, and they've had that experience. And Phyllis has had that experience. You've seen yourself right in the mirror window?
Well, I'm not going to lie.
Spaceship?
No, no, I haven't. I've only seen through the eyes of my higher part. Basically, no, because I've never asked for that. You know, it's funny. But if you're not specifically asking for something to happen, you're not going to be led to it. But the things that I've seen, it was just the lucid ability to see what we're doing.
Yeah.
And on another, on a higher plane of consciousness, which for me is you know, thrilling.
Okay, so that I was
you.
Thinking you saw.
I've seen
oh,
you.
Oh, maybe you saw me. Okay. Okay. Other people we've talked to in the past have had some experiences similar where they're walking on the ship and seeing through their eyes of their higher self.
But that's just basically, yeah. that's a nice technique if somebody's curious about, you know, what they really look like. But I think the key element here is that when you're transitioning and you're now all of a sudden in another state, how much knowledge have you accumulated?
Exactly.
In this particular lifetime, and if you never even knew that, you know, some people don't even know there's another life. Some people don't even know if there's life after death. Some people don't believe in reincarnation. I mean, you know, it's an ancient
teaching, and it's been taken out of the biblical text because they wanted to control things, but we won't go there.
We have found quite a few scriptures,
yep,
where it's clearly talking about, you know,
many
reincarnation.
Times. They missed a lot of them, but and we won't go there for now, but that's another time.
But we will eventually.
Yeah, I'll go there. Go there. Because I want people to know this was taught by the ancients. The ancient Hebrews taught it to the selected let's say the ancient people who are going to be teachers of their synagogues or rabbis like that, they would be taught these hidden teachings as well. The common people weren't taught that right away until they became students more learned in that way. So Yehoshua taught his disciples all the time about this.
That's why
they asked questions like that.
And before you finish the pedal conversation, in the last transmission, on Easter, Sananda said he mentioned soul transmigration,
yeah,
actually in his transmission. So there he was speaking about it to people that can comprehend what we're all talking about here.
Yes, it was called soul transmigration in ancient times. Yep.
So he literally stated it outright.
Yeah, so what we're going through is that when you pass on, everyone, and when you're passing on, ready to go, leave planet Earth, lay down. You've done it before. It's many times. It's not a big deal. It's actually a nice experience, if anyone is wondering. Except if it was traumatic, like crashing into a brick wall. Well, then the person gets thrown out of body, but they still wake up on the ground and go, "What? That was interesting." So what you program, what you learn on the planet right now, what we're learning, is what you take with you. There's a misconception about people saying, well, when I die, I'll know the truth. Not always. People think that when they die, they'll learn all the mystical, amazing things of the universes and all beyond this. And it's not what happens. The way it happens is when you get to the other side, you have the knowledge you brought with you from Earth as well, that knowledge. If you've had past life memory, that's with you, too, from your Earth life. But what you have to do, and no one's going to come up and tell you because it's free will, and they won't overstep the boundaries of free will for a soul, anybody, even the angels. So what you have to do is ask questions. So if you say to a being there, you might say, I really like to learn about whatever, you know, some ancient thing or whatever you want to know about, or more beyond here, more beyond this dimension I'm in right now, in the heaven, first levels of heaven realm. It's beautiful, but you might want to learn more. Some people get lost in the heaven realm and I don't want to say lost because it's so magnificently beautiful and euphoric that it's like a dream that's come true. And they, with their family and friends that they had on Earth before and past friends and family they might not have even seen up for this planet level that they were on for this past life, but another life before. So you have lots of friends, and they're soul friends as well. Like you've heard of soul groups, everybody. That means soul groups would be people who are all resonating similar, learning together, but some choose to go down and come into the planet and learn with a group there, their friends, and other parts of the group stay on the heaven realm and work as guide friends as well to them. So this, it's interesting. So they might see a friend that's an ancient friend or a loved one from the past and think that they're just a spirit guide friend. But it ends up being it's always somebody who's known us before or who has been with us for a long time, and it's watching over in a way with us learning. So we go into that area. You want to know how to focus and ask questions on the other side. So if you want to meet Ashtar, like our friend Tim Beckley questioned that all the time, he got taken to the ship by the angelics working with him. So we're going to go. I just want people to know that, because it's not like you're automatically embedded with all this knowledge from a future thing, or all history of Earth has been put into your head suddenly when you get to the other side. You still have to go study it and find it, whatever you're interested in, that you didn't learn here. But what you did learn, and what you're learning today, an 144,000 metaphor for that original ancient text, is a secret teaching that was known only to a few in those times. And Yehoshua knew it. We know it in space. And we were allowed to come and talk. So that's when we were visiting the Earth in ancient times, as people call the ancient astronauts. But that's where we would bring some of that information as well to the regular people at the time. But this hidden meaning of the 144,000, representing the crown chakra of the physical body, crown chakra frequency. And when you see it, I was describing it to a friend of ours, Madeline, about looking down from above. If you were looking at a crown chakra of someone from high up, looking down at them, and it was opened, meaning not veiled in any way, and spinning in a high frequency, not in a common, regular 10-year-old frequency, which isn't opened. It's just small and moving slowly, but it's still there. Knowledge and experience with the frequencies, and that will open these chakras higher and finer. So the way to do this is to raise your energy frequency. And we've all heard of it. We've all known about it in the metaphysical realms. And in the New Age people, we all know about what we're talking about, the crystals or whatever. We're going to raise the frequency, and how you do that with harmonics, sonics. We got beautiful music you can listen to that will bring your body calm and make you, like people feeling like they're going to a floating meditation or contemplation of spirit or whatever they're feeling to create, or right, Phil? I'm trying to, you might calmly sit and meditate, lay down on a bed and just be. And the frequencies you're listening to, maybe with some tapes or CD players or headphones. That is a way to help raise frequency. We've done it around the apartment where we are. I used to use Steve Halpern music. When I first met him back in 78, I knew his music before that, and I met him in England, and I was using his music in the tape recorders out in the fields with the spaceships when I would go in the field and put the music on really loud, causing a frequency that would be there in space that they'd see, because it's there. It's a light. It forms. And the ships would come in, and I was just using his music to open up the energy and the frequency and make it finer so that you'd have a feeling of, out in the field of God, whatever you want to say. So that's how I was using his music. And when I met him in England, I told him how I was doing that and having photos of UFOs and things, 1970s. So he was amazed by that. He was a really nice guy, really nice. So we met him again in 2010.
Well, I think everybody also knows that there's tons of new music out there, which
yes.
is based on,
oh, yeah.
I think,
432 yeah.
and also the Tesla music of 369 Hertz.
Yeah.
There's a lot of music out there today that if you look around,
oh, yeah, well,
I know most people know the music that
yep.
we're talking to.
Everybody knows Tibetan Bells, the beautiful bowls, singing bowls, all crystal bowls, I mean, everything. And all these are tuning, and they do bring up the frequency around your energy field, and they calm the soul, calm you down. Now, the other thing is breathing techniques that people have used as well, and that all works. Everything works. Whatever you've heard and use and works for you is what you go with. To raise the frequencies and keep your consciousness and your thoughts on the Creator, on light, on life, on goodness, on healing, on helping others. Healing meaning from everything, for sending love and of your love, meaning from your crown chakra, love from your heart chakra. And you're going to send love and energy to the planet, to the animals, to all life, to all people, everywhere in the universe, in the omniverse. You're sending that brother, sister, mother, father, I love you, all life, everywhere. We are all brothers and sisters, no matter what form we're in, or what form we choose to take, male, female, androgynous, and other forms. We're all, if metaphorically, brothers and sisters. We're all the children. We're all together. We're all in frequency. We're all in harmonies. And so when you're in the high realms, when you meet people, instantly you know them. Instantly you know who they are. And there's no introduction. You just know them. So this is connection with our consciousness, our whole mind of within us, within the Creator. All of us are within the infinite Creator. And the Creator loves us all, as he's told the Creators, unceasingly. Love us all unceasingly and has no favorites. There is nobody better than anybody else, no matter what they do. We are all loved, yet when we talk about the squeaky wheel, the one who persists and chases after Creator, longs to be with Creator or longs to know Creator, or in the ancient text it even says, what's it say? It says, seek my face in your prayers, in your contemplation. Seek my face. Ask before you go to sleep. Say, I long to see you, my infinite Creator. I long to see you. I long to see you, your face. I long to be hugged by you. And you know you'll get an answer when you sincerely ask. So many times we've had amazing out-of-bodies where we meet. I've physically met the infinite, we'll say, Yehoshua. He's come here physically, hugged me, kissed me on the cheek. I kissed his cheek. Euphoric bliss is all I could tell you. It's the infinite one, is euphoric love and bliss. And telling me things like, we know what's going on the planet. We, as the infinite one. It's funny.
Like
in the three form.
To get to the other materials.
I'll get there. Hold on. So we got the 124,000. Again, when I saw this from above, like looking down on someone's crown chakra, I was trying to explain to our friend, it looked like a many-flowered fan. They think of it as a lotus, but it really looks like a flower in essence with a center, and the center is your chakra, your crown, coming to you in the form that you're in here. So it's in the body. So it looks like a dot, and that looks like the center of a flower. And out of it is sprouting in three-dimensional form, not a flat, like, flower daisy, three-dimensional form, many, many projections of a fan effect that's spinning both multiple directions. It seems to go around clockwise, and sometimes when you're looking at it, most of it looks clockwise, and little parts look like they're moving in different ways. Could be vibrating. So it gives you a 3D effect that's amazing. And there is a wind that goes with it in a different dimensional plane. You could feel a slight feeling of that frequency moving the energy around. So it's represented in the energy, in the aura field of the person. But when you see it, I can't explain it any better than saying multiple layered flower look, where I get the idea that that's why they saw lotus flower, because it is beautiful. And it's absolutely magnificent to see. And it's very big over the person when it's really open. If a human is standing in their head, you got to now imagine an umbrella effect of a giant spinning wheel way over 5 foot in diameter and plus. And the more knowledge they acquire, the bigger it gets. Multiple petals within it, appearing on top of each other, expanding outward, and rotating, mostly at times in a clockwise formation. It looks like it's spinning clockwise around the person's head from left to right, way up high. And when we do the seed atom activation, that seed atom is a whole different thing I'll get into, I think, in another time. It represents an atomic frequency. It doesn't mean a physical atom to see under any microscopes or anything, but it's a frequency.
Okay.
And that opens it further and further.
Before you go expanded. Further, though, on the 144,000, can you just dispel the misconception that if there were to be any kind of an excavation, is that the word, evacuation of the planet, an evacuation of the planet, that there would only be 144,000 people that would be evacuated if there were some kind of cataclysm.
Right, that's the ancient belief system, right?
That's
people are promoting that somewhere.
Some people actually believe that.
Yeah, I know. A lot of, the Jehovah's Witness and others.
I wouldn't name names.
No, it's true, though.
I know, but I wouldn't name names.
All right, it's not a name, it's people, many people born again. All these different groups we know. Catholics, everybody.
But it's not.
They think
not
it's 144,000 souls that are going to be rescued or taken on a rapture or taken.
Or in their case, make it to heaven.
To heaven, yeah.
But we just needed to, so that's why it's so important to know that the reference to the 144,000 that was mentioned in Revelations is really what Mark is talking about. It's basically the crown chakra being activated.
That means everybody, you see, the false beings, we'll call them fallen, I don't care what we call them, but the beings that are manipulating on the first plane level, they're the ones playing all these games to harass everybody. They go, oh, I'm going to test you, They're trying to distract us from the truth, and the truth of coming home and being going back infinitely to our Creator and being on the higher realms where we come from, the higher planes. So they're trying to distract the people with that. So what better way than to take some ancient text, mess it around with it, make it subliminals in their people's heads as they're thinking these things and say, yeah, 144,000, that's all it's making it out. So everybody else has to feel like they'll never make it home. What's the use? Who cares? Oh, well. So it's a lie. And it's brought up by the false beings, the fallen ones, as we call them, the liars.
All right, now we're going to get hate mail.
That's okay.
I don't care.
So the 144,000 is just a symbolic metaphor of this many-petaled effect that's up there on that crown chakra. So really, everyone listening, we all go home, get that crown chakra activated and really going. And how do you do that? And it becomes a light around your body, like a white light of gold and golden shimmers of light like that. And that's what is seen even by the crew and the other our other higher realm friends on the spaceships. And when we see these people activated with blue and pink and white light and gold light, and their chakras are activated and that crown chakra is open, we take them in the ships to be rescued if there's any cataclysms on planets.
I'd like to put this out there. Because,
but it also means that you all get home to the high realms.
Because I'm a human, and so I'm going to speak from a human perspective. Mark's not a human, as we all know. Just because
a human form of a body.
Just because a person has not experienced, let's say, a high meditation with 144,000 petal manifestation on the crown chakra doesn't mean that their energy isn't high enough to be selected if there were to be some kind of a situation. So that's misleading to say that has anything actually to do with people, just in general, who are loving people and beautiful people, even if they're clueless, if they're loving and
beautiful. That's true. If your crown chakra is not 100% open or any of that, because you're a good person, never doing bad things and not killing animals and hurting children or whatever we're doing on this planet, and you're a good person with a love of Creator, you are seen because your energy around your aura will be of light. It will be light blues. It will be beautiful colors. The ones that we're not able to take on the ships in case of a rescue are those who are satanic or have a black, dark aura or have absolutely no belief systems because they don't know anything. They just would be shocked and have a heart attack if they saw one of these ships suddenly show up. So it's people who are
I just think that needs to be clarified.
Yeah.
The 144,000 was a reference in the Bible to who was, you know, how many would make it, and you've described beautifully what that 144,000 actually meant in metaphor.
Yeah.
But having said that, everybody has, you know, access to the higher realms.
Mm-hmm.
If they're living beautiful, good lives.
Yeah.
Even if they haven't opened their for, you know, their crown chakra.
Oh no. It just means that you're also with loving with the Creator, believing in Creator. That's going to open that crown for you too. When we're talking about higher frequency, meaning getting higher planes, getting to higher planes, even to the higher celestial levels, you're going to have that frequency is going to be very high and open. So I think it's what it was mostly a way to cast doubt on in souls in the ancient times to make them feel that they're never going to get out and they're going to keep coming back and incarnating, that there's never a way out for real if it's only that many going to make it off of the planet. And in truth, just focusing on the love of Creator and trusting in Creator and doing no harm to others and loving each other as you love yourselves, the whole thing is going to have that crown energy moving normal and nicely. It only gets closed down when people get into evil and pretty much
right.
Really negative stuff.
I think we've given an overview on that. We started a conversation earlier. I don't think we're going to get to very much of it, but we can start it today. And I'd really like to talk about it a little bit or have Mark answer some questions here. So I hope you don't mind, Mark. But
no. Okay.
We were talking with Sananda earlier, and I was asking a lot of questions of what he did when he was on Earth and he, you know, landed up in India and in other places around the planet before he ever started his mission at 30 years old. So I just wanted you to tell people how he landed up in these various places and what were some of the things he was doing while he was there, because there's a lot of misconceptions about what went on with him in the Far East, by the way. And, you know, they're just outright lies which have been told.
Well, there's also lies that are told that Mary had other children. Mother Mary did not have other children. She had Yehoshua, who was the firstborn of her. But Joseph, her husband, meaning Yosef, because there was no J in ancient Hebrew at the time, it was Johann the Baptist and Yosef. He had an older sister, Lydia and Lysia, from Joseph's first marriage, whose wife died. And then they also talk in the Bible about his brothers. And so brothers in those days was called everybody from cousins. They didn't have a word for cousin. Yet Joseph had two sons too, James and Simon, older than Jesus because he married. This was his first wife who had died. So that's just to get some of that story off. But to get where Jesus disappears at around 12 years old, or a little after 12 years, he said about 13 almost.
Yeah.
He goes with his uncle, Joseph of Arimathea, who was Mary's great uncle, who was Mary's uncle, her mother, Mary's mother, Anna, Joseph Arimathea was her brother, so Mary's uncle. Joseph was a very rich man, and the illusion of this also is that they're saying that the Holy Family was poor, and they were not poor. I don't know why they pushed that whole story, but they weren't. And Joseph Arimathea had mines, and the Romans gave him the highest contract for the money, for the metals to be. They would make their shields and swords and everything metal. So he had a contract with them in those ancient times. So he was wealthy. He had money. And it was his tomb that he put Jesus in, Yehoshua in, after the crucifixion. It was Joseph of Arimathea that took his body off the cross with the disciple, coupled with John. And that's how that happened. But I'm just trying to let people know this is a hidden teachings, hidden stories that are left out, things that were taken away. And things that Jesus himself had told me when I was out of body with him, you know, many years ago, back in 1970 as well. before, but he disappeared roughly around 13 years old, almost 13 or 12 and a half. So he went with Joseph, who was had a couple of ships that he sailed with merchandise and trade, as well as the tin and the mining things that he had. So he taught Jesus what he does. He showed him what he's doing. He took him on, his uncle took him like journeying. And
but he also knew that Yehoshua had incredible abilities.
Oh yeah.
And he told him to keep him on the down low.
Yes, he had to keep him on the down low. Now, even baby Jesus, when they fled to Egypt to escape Herod, and he went to Egypt, he, as a baby, he was healing, so people would be healed. So this is, he had a reputation already in Egypt. So Uncle Joseph had friends and places to stay, was very well involved with the pharaohs, so that's why Mary, Joseph, and baby Christ, Yeshua, were able to go to Egypt and stay there at a beautiful house with the Pharaoh area, because they're friends. So this was known, and that they kept all this information away from people. So he went on trips with Uncle Joseph, let's say, and he was taught different things with the trade. And I had a friend who had books, and he told me he had seen some things that were written by at the ancient museums or something,
and
where he had signed
I'm
for
sorry
something.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we only have a few minutes left, and I'd love for you to share your information on how people can contact you. And we're going to have to make this one a to be continued, like Phyllis said.
Okay. So I was going to say the last thing to everybody was that he went to India, and many things happened where he was not taught anything, but helped with teaching the yogis back then. But we'll go into that another time. I think that needs its own show.
He went into great detail today for us, and we'll talk about it at another time.
Yeah. So you can all reach us at etuniversalzone.com, where you'll see tonight's show. It's also posted in there. And intergalacticmission.com and markbringerhoff.com. MarkBringerhoff. And our email is the same on all those sites, markbringerhoff@yahoo.com. You can also see us on Facebook. And I'm available for what we all call readings. I call them spiritual consultations. But we go into higher self, oversoul, information on past life, angels and our guardian angels' names and more. And that's what we do, so I'm available for that, and lectures as well. And so that's about it, everybody.
Wow.
Covered
a lot today.
We do have a few more minutes. I can say something else.
We have exactly 2 minutes.
2 minutes. My clock is off. Gosh.
Okay, well, what we're doing right now is we're finishing, we're working on at least 4 books, but we decided to do a book on Sananda's messages, and in the book on Sananda's messages that we're doing, we're also going to add in information that he's been telling us about some of his experiences when he traveled with Joseph of Arimathea, and it's absolutely stunning. I think we need to go into this in another show. But,
yeah, okay.
But we really appreciate
it. Yeah, it really deserves its own time.
And love and light.
Yes, Adonai Vasu Bragas to everybody. It means blessings always and the infinite love and light of our infinite radiant creator.
And we thank you, Hercules, once again.
My pleasure, my honor. You guys are doing great work. In addition to inviting you to our Atlantis Forum and all our other forums, I resume my function as the herald of new business in my town. So releasing a lot of information on abundance and prosperity from a spiritual perspective. And you guys started touching on that quite a bit today. So I'll invite you for that as well.
Okay, that's cool. And don't forget our little fairy friends.
Yes, that's coming up this month, too. And now we'll close with your ET Universal Zone music in the last...
Our new theme.
Yes, so we'll close with that. Thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, God bless everybody.
God
love
bless
you all.
Too.